Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God, the flock and the herd, of the flock and the herd, in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. And there shall be no unleavened bread seen with thee in all thy coasts, 7 days. Neither shalt there anything of the flesh which thou sacrificest the first day at even remain all night until the morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. And thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt turn in the morning and go unto thy tents. 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work therein. 7 weeks shalt thou number unto thee. Begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn. And thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite that is within thy gates and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise, and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord thy God which thou shalt make thee, neither shalt thou set thee up any image which the Lord thy God hateth. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Well, this is a fairly straightforward chapter. Verses 1 through 17, we have the three required feasts of all the males traveling, no matter where they lived, to Jerusalem three times in the year. The feast of Passover, the feast of weeks, Shavuot, and then the feast of, or Shavuot, and then the feast of tabernacles. Passover, weeks, tabernacles. It didn't matter. Once you were a bar mitzvahed young man in Israel, once you were 12 years old and above, you traveled, no matter where you lived, to Jerusalem three times in the year to feast before the Lord your God. You know what I find interesting in this? Is that the Lord takes it upon Himself without any excuse to order His worship thus. He doesn't ask them if they will come. He doesn't make it an optional thing. He simply says, three times in the year, all of you will appear. You will come to Me. You will come and rejoice before Me in the time of the Passover. Now, you know that's sometime in the spring. And then you will come again unto Me in the Feast of Weeks. And that is 7 weeks after the first harvest. And, of course, traditionally that ended up working out to 50 days after Passover. 50 days after Passover. And that was also called Pentecost because of the 50 days. And then the third was in the fall, after you're done with your harvest. You came and you brought enough materials, or you bought them when you got there, to build yourself a little hovel, a little tent made out of sticks. And you lived in that tent for 7 days. And that was the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, each of these had a reference to the land of Egypt, although not as specifically in the second. But the first, the Passover, of course, there was a difference between the Egyptian Passover and all of the other Passovers. There were basically three Passovers, three different kinds of Passover that were celebrated in Egypt. I don't know if you knew that or not. The first one is called the Egyptian Passover, and that had some things that were specific to it. Then there was the Passover in the wilderness and during the conquest. And then there was the Passover after the place was identified where the Lord said, here's where you'll come. So there were basically three Passovers that were celebrated in Egypt. And each were a little bit different according to the commandment of God, because there were some differences. Moses here is looking, he's on the plains of Moab, and he's looking out from the plains of Moab over the land of promise with that as a backdrop. He is talking to them about what God will do for them in the land of promise, how God will settle them and will give them a place to come. And so this Passover that he's talking about here is primarily the Passover after Jerusalem is established as the center of worship for the people of God. And that happened under King David. Yeah, it was a long time, wasn't it? A long time. David was, 900, 950 B.C. They came out of Egypt in 1450 B.C. So yeah, it was a long time before they were finally settled in the land, because they didn't drive them all out under Joshua. They allowed some of them to stay. And it was David that drove the Jebusites out of Jerusalem. The Lord said, there's where I'm going to put My name. Of course, David in that is a type of Christ, isn't he? Driving the people out of God's house. Okay, so in the Passover, we have no leavened bread. Now, there are all kinds of teachings out there about leaven. It's always evil. No, it's not. Not always. It's not always evil. Sometimes it's spoken of something that's insidious. It spreads everywhere, like the kingdom of God. Right? It goes everywhere. You put a little leaven in the lump, and pretty soon, before you know it, what? The pesky leaven is everywhere, just like the church. Starts with 12 guys in Jerusalem. Pretty soon it's all over the whole world. So sometimes leaven is like that in Scripture. Other times, leaven represents hypocrisy. because it takes bread that would normally be about this big around, and it makes it this big around. Right? It blows it up. It makes it look bigger than it is. Fills it full of air. Makes it vain. So sometimes leaven means vanity or sin or, you know, being puffed up. What it means here is haste. You're not supposed to take the time to leaven your bread because you left Egypt in haste. You left Egypt in a huff. Remember, the destroying angel came through, slew all the firstborn of Egypt, and before Pharaoh changed his mind again, said, "Get out of here," you got up and you left. You didn't have time to leaven your bread. That's what they're to remember here. Didn't have time to make that big, airy loaf of bread that's so comfortable to eat. You're eating the bread of affliction, the stuff that's, you know, that sits in your stomach like a rock. You're eating that heavy, heavy bread rather than that light, that lighter bread that is more pleasing. All right, so then the Passover, that, you know, you're not supposed to let it stay until the morning. Why? Because you were gone by the morning when you were in Egypt, and you want to remember that. And notice he speaks to this generation. Now, some of them were there as children. Many of them to whom Moses is speaking were not there, and yet he says you. There is a generational solidarity between the people of God. We can actually sing, and we do in the Psalms, we sing that we were glad when the Lord overthrew the Egyptians. We were in Him glad in that day. Those are our people. Our people are not, you know, Germans or Scots or Norwegians or wherever you're from. Our people are the fathers of the faith. And so Moses reaches beyond that one generation there and he says, throughout all your generations. And every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, which is the new covenant sacrament that corresponds to the old covenant Passover, we remember that we have been delivered by the body of Christ from the slave market, not of Egypt, but of sin and the devil. Feast of Weeks, then, was a celebration of the first fruits that God had brought to them in the land which they went into inhabit. So it is related to their redemption, to coming out of Egypt. And then Booths is related, again, in that they are to remember that they were strangers in Egypt, that they dwelt in tents there, that they wandered all over the land of Canaan. They were not at home in Egypt, but that the Lord brought them home when He brought them out of Egypt and brought them into the land under Joshua. So all of this is tied to our redemption. These are redemptive signs, brothers and sisters. There is gospel preaching going on here in these Old Covenant symbols. All right, then, in verses 18 through the close of the chapter, first of all, judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. So the Lord also provided in those days, under the old covenant economy, a theocracy, a theocratic reign. And in that theocratic reign, there were officers. There was a civil government that was set in place. All of you who are in authority in one sphere or another need to take heed at this, at these admonitions here. They're at these warnings. First of all, just judgment is necessary. Just judgment. And how rare that is. But all judgment is to be just. Not fair, because we don't know what fair is. Honestly, as people, we don't know. Our concept of fairness is colored. We always seem to have a horse in the race. Just judgment is defined by what God's Word says is just. Now, there are some wisdom and discretion decisions to be made as to the, you know, severity of punishment and so on. And those need to be done justly as well. Notice also, thou shalt not wrest judgment. W-R-E-S-T, wrest, twist. Children, twist. W-R-E-S-T. You know, we get the word wrestle. Yeah, wrestle means to what? There's two guys falling on the ground twisting around. Isn't that what it looks like? You know, they're just twisting around. That's what it means, to twist judgment. And then also, thou shalt not respect persons. It's one law, one justice for every man. No respect of persons. The rich and the poor, the foreigner and the homeborn, which was an amazing law. Definitely a divine law. You wouldn't find that among any of the heathen tribes. The homeboys get the break all the time. Not in God's court. No respecter of persons. And then also, thou shalt not take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Bribery. Bribery. What a terrible scourge upon our country. Bribery. That there's a complete industry in our country that is built on doing favors for legislators to get what they want, so that when those legislators are elected, part of the election process is the money to get the word out, that money is donated by interest groups that then receive paybacks and favorable rulings and favorable laws and pressing for favorable legislation. That is a wicked, wicked system. All right, then verse 21, very interesting. Thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord thy God, which thou shalt make unto thee. No comment, just the statement. Don't build any trees around the altar. Well, you know why. What happens if everybody shows up to Jerusalem on those three times in the year when everyone's supposed to come, and they've all got their Passover with them, and they got to wait in line? Oh, well, I got a tree over here. I can go hang that tree up, that lamb up before the Lord over here. Don't build a grove of trees around the altar of the Lord, because it will be a temptation. So what do we learn from that? We learn not to facilitate our wickedness, right? We learn not to aid and abet our temptations, right? And then finally, neither shalt thou set thee up any image which the Lord thy God hateth. Not, it's okay to set up an image as long as it's one that the Lord doesn't hate. That's not what he means there. Thou shalt not set up any image, because you know why? All of them God hates. He will not be served by images. Did you hear that? He will not be served by images. And when I decided it was probably the right thing for me to do, to wear this collar, I went to a store in town to buy the shirt. I won't tell you the store. But they normally sell to people of a different religion than ours. And it was a real whipping to go in there because of all of the images on the walls. All of the idolatry and superstition. Idolatry melds into superstition. Make no mistake. And the Lord hates it. He hates images. You look around the room here. We have the Ten Commandments over there. We have a clock over there to remind the preacher he's going too long. And that's it. No other pictures. No pictures of the Godhead. Nothing like it. The Lord hates it. He just hates it. All right, thus ends the reading of Deuteronomy 16. Let's stand and continue.